Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And also to welcome to the programme four talented performers who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Josie Lawrence, and seated on my left, Zoe Lyons and Lee Mack. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling. She's going to help me with the score, run the stopwatch for me, and, of course, blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. So we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the South Pole. Tell us something about that cold place in this game, starting now.
The Huskies were husky. They'd been singing all night long. The midnight hour had crept upon us. I turned to Nicholas Parsons in our two-man tent, and I realised that by the end of the evening, only one of us would have survived. Cannibalism at the forefront of my mind as I looked upon his chunky arm. I had eaten for nearly 3 weeks, and there we were now, Nick in front of me, his golden flesh burning with desire in my heart. My eyes looked into his. We fell in love and kissed. The icebergs outside were melting towards us in the same way that my emotions were warming towards him. We realised this was one thing that we would never be able to talk about apart from on Just a Minute when you turn to go for a long time. And we realised then that it was going to be something very special. The North Pole was miles away. We were at the South Pole. That's how far we were away from the previous mentioned pole.
And I remember it well.
So do I. It was only last week.
Oh, it doesn't often happen like that.
Paul, that's just saved me £2.99 a minute.
What was that, Lee?
It was a joke about a sex line, Nicholas, and I wish I hadn't said it.
Could you say it again?
Yes, that saved me £2.99 a minute, Nicholas. Funny enough, it didn't get any more laughs on the second. Yeah. I tell you what we could do. We could try it for a third time and see how that goes. Well, that saved me £2.99 a minute. We'll use that one.
Give him a bonus point.
Rule of three.
And, of course, in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And if you go for the whole 60 seconds without being interrupted, you get a bonus point. So Paul's in the lead with 2 points and the others are yet to score. And we begin.
I thought I just got a point.
The others, except for Lee Mack, have yet to score. Josie Lawrence, when you take the second round.
Okay.
A knee-jerk reaction. Tell us something about that subject in this game, if you can, starting now.
A knee-jerk reaction is rather like a knee-jerk reflex. When you go to your doctor's, he will text. Oh, God, I've gone wrong. I said text instead of test.
I know. Actually, if you kept going, they probably wouldn't have noticed it.
I know.
Anyway, Zoe, a correct challenge, a point to you. And there are 52 seconds available. A knee-jerk reaction, starting now.
So when you go to your local surgery, a doctor will often take out a tiny little hammer and approach you with it dramatically, slightly aggressively. You start to worry. You think, what is he going to do with that? You needn't be bothered about that, though, because he's only going to tap you on your knee.
Lee, challenge.
Have we massively deviated from what a knee-jerk reaction is? I always thought a knee-jerk reaction was sort of not literally your knee jerking. It was just an instant reaction to something that wasn't thought through properly.
But it comes from a knee-jerk reaction. It has got a scientific basis.
Yeah. So when you go to the doctors and they do that test, they say, right, we're going to do the knee-jerk reaction test.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it does have a Latin term, but they don't tend to bother
Jackson.
With
them. I thought they test your reflexes, don't they?
Yeah, you're quite right. It is a reflex.
A reflex test,
But it's always also
right. To be honest, I didn't think it through properly. It was just a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. I just said
well, I won't charge any points on that one, but Zoe, we don't take it away from you because you weren't deviating from the subject. And there are still 36 seconds available. A knee-jerk reaction starting now.
Well, now I'm just a little bit anxious and a little bit peeved.
Oh, yes, right. Oh. A Paul challenge.
A repetition of little bit.
A little bit. There's too much little bits there. Paul, correct challenge. A point, of course. 33 seconds still available. A knee-jerk reaction starting now.
I finished playing pantomime last week at Wimbledon and my knee has had a bit of a reaction to it. I was widow twanky and wearing high-heel shoes and I think that's what made my knee go a little bit funny. There is a strange kind of bandage I have on it at the moment, but this morning it started to swell up and I thought that's a bit unusual. So I decided to take myself off to the various knee clinics which are near me. There's two, in fact. There is the specialist knee clinic in Marylebone and there is another one which I shouldn't mention because it's run by my father, which is known as the Mr. Merton Knee... I was trying to find another word for clinic.
Josie, you challenged first.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. And you've got him with 4 seconds to go. A knee-jerk reaction, Josie, starting now.
Sometimes a knee-jerk reaction can be so very...
So at the end of that round, Josie Lawrence speaking as a whistle win, gained an extra point. She's one behind Paul Merton and the other two are behind him. And Lee Mack, we'd like you to begin the next round. Scones. Can you tell us something about scones in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'm glad that you pronounced it scones, Nicholas, because, as you know, a lot of people seem to think it's scones, and I don't like that, but there's a big division in the country about it, and there's only one way to find out, and that is, of course, another referendum. But what could possibly go wrong giving two people just two options and seeing what happens?
Josie Chan.
Repetition of two.
Yes, or two. Repetition of two.
I'm sorry.
It was... A repetition, Lee, unfortunately. Josie, a correct challenge. 43 seconds are still available. Scones, starting now.
I love making scones. I, too, call them scones and not scones, because you don't say bonds, you say bones. Anyway, I like making dropped scones. You get batter, egg, milk, flour, whip it all up with a whisk.
Paul.
Isn't batter egg, milk and flour? Then you get batter, then egg, milk and flour. Don't you make batter from egg, milk and flour?
Yes.
So you say you get batter, egg, milk and flour.
That's, I meant really you get batter by mixing egg, milk and flour.
Yes.
It was a little jump, you know.
Yes.
If it was written down, it'd be a dash.
Yeah, or a mistake, as we call it in the show.
No, Nicholas, that wasn't... I went, you make batter, egg, milk, flour. People knew what I was saying.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Josie, and say you have a... The audience are completely divided on this. If I can
read...
Don't
worry, I'm not going to get to the end.
Paul, if I can redress the balance later on and give you the favour, I will. 27 seconds. Scones, starting now.
The best thing about scones is they have to be buttery, melt in the mouth. My auntie, Florrie, used to make them... See, I told you.
Zoe, you challenged first. What was it?
Just a slight hesitation.
And you have 19 seconds available still on scones, starting now.
The big debate about scones is whether you put your jam or the cream on first. I, personally, am a conserve sort of person.
Well, a hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, it was a hesitation, sadly. And you've got him with 10 seconds to go on scones, starting now.
So there I've got a great big plate of batter in front of me, and the reason why I've got that substance is because I have gone to the shop beforehand. I have bought eggs, milk and flour, and I've mixed it all together in a bowl, and that's how we got that.
That was a very
so Paul, speaking as a whistle win, gained that extra point, has increased his lead by one over Josie Lawrence, and then come Zoe Lyons and Lee Mack. And Zoe, it's your turn to begin. The subject, management speak. Tell us something about that subject in this game. Are you writing it down, right?
I am writing it down.
Starting now.
I think one of the reasons I became a stand-up comedian was that I could avoid any sort of management speak in my day-to-day job. Blessedly, I don't have to go into an office where there's somebody there telling me to think about blue sky awareness. Day-to-day. Or indeed...
Josie, you've challenged.
Repetition of or.
Yes.
Oh.
But it was a slight stumble over the oar. It was a slight stumble over the oar.
You did tap me there. I think you were helping me. I don't know what you were saying. I thought you were...
You said day to day.
Oh, I thought you said, what are you doing afterwards? I thought, there's a time and a place, Nicholas, but we're in the middle of the game. And...
I'll give him a bonus point because we loved it all. I couldn't help him, but Josie, you had a correct challenge. You have management speak and you have 44 seconds, starting now.
My friend works in an office, and every Friday they have to go in for a meeting where the boss talks management speak. He will say things like, let's bat this around, a shuttlecock can only drop forwards, and we're going to make this 150% work. She never has any idea what he's bleeding on about. Management speak is devoid of any empathy or love. Like, imagine going out with a boyfriend that spoke in management speak. You'd go to the bedroom, he'll say, well, let's drop them down, roll them around and see what turns up. This is a terrible way of talking and I will not have it. Management speak can be so very mind-numbingly terrible and it means...
So Josie Lawrence was speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and with others in the round, she's now taken the lead. One ahead of Paul Merton, then followed by the other two. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject now, bird watching. 60 seconds if you need it. Bird watching, 60
yeah,
seconds.
Lovely, yeah, my favourite, yeah.
Oh, right.
I did it for O-level.
Starting now.
I was filming in Ireland once on an ostrich farm, and ostriches are very strange creatures because they've got a tiny head roughly bigger than a tennis ball, and they look at you in a very odd way, weaving in and out towards you with their beady little eyes, and you think to yourself, he's going to attack me any moment. Another kind of bird is a duck, and that's all I know.
Zoe, you press first.
There was a hesitation just around the corner there. There was going to be a lot of silence after duck. I was anticipating.
Indeed. So, Zoe, yeah. You have it. 44 seconds. Bird watching is starting now.
I like to watch birds on occasion. My favourite would, of course, be a wader because of their Wellingtons. Very clever animals they are, allowing their knees not to get wet in the water or sea. They fly out sometimes with their boots still on, which is quite difficult because it's a heavy piece of rubber to have around your tiny little ankles. Yet they manage to do it with quite dexterity and speed, using them to gather up the air as they swoop about magically and wonderfully, looping the other way and this way. On occasion, climbing down again into the air and picking up shells and pieces of...
Josie, you challenged.
It was a repetition of air.
Yes, it was.
Was there a lot of air? There was a lot of hot air there. There was a lot of air.
It was very kinetic, though.
Yeah. Josie, you have a correct challenge. And you have 12 seconds. Bird watching starting now.
I used to be absolutely obsessed with ducks. I love bald-headed coots, pochards, and also I think my favourite is the swan. I live...
Zoe.
That's not a duck. I mean, I don't know a lot about birds, but that is not a duck.
No, a swan is not a duck.
It's not a duck, and I thought that was a list of ducks, so I was just being pedantic there with the
old... list of ducks it was, not. Yeah. And if you said a list of birds, we could have given it to you. So, Zoe, correct challenge. And you've got him with 3 seconds to go. Bird watching starting now.
My favourite binoculars to go bird watching with. Oh.
Rosie Lyons, again speaking as it was went. Gained an extra point. She has moved forward. She's equal with Paul in second place. Josie's in the lead, and Lee is in a very strong fourth place. Josie Lawrence, it's your turn to begin. Lady Godiva. Tell us something about that character in this game, starting now.
Lord and Lady Godiva lived in Coventry and were very good folk. They did things for charity and gave money to the poor, but he...
Lee, you've challenged.
I think you might have done repetition there, have lived,
that's right, yes.
Yeah, no, because you told me. I mean, don't get me wrong, Joseph, it's complete news to me, but I'm being helped by Nicholas quite a lot, and I quite like that. He's feeling for me, and I like that.
Somebody's playing the game for the first time. Everybody knows here, who's played it regularly, that anybody who's coming on for the first time does get a little bit of a shove from me on occasion.
Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you.
But don't draw attention to it.
It'll never be mentioned again, but I can't help thinking when you hit me on the arm, it's quite obvious.
Then.
He did help me, yes.
Only spoken like 5 words.
He helped me quite early on, and again, I wasn't sure what he was saying, so I was trying to look at you and listen to him at the same time, which is actually being quite difficult for me, but I'm happy to go with the help. But lived.
Lived. Again.
Yes, that's for the edit. I think there's a repetition there on lived.
You've got a correct challenge, I'm afraid, Josie.
Yes, I know.
Give it to him. 49 seconds available, the Lady Godiva, starting now.
So, reincarnation. Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of repeating on Lived. I quite like Lady Godiva because it's Cockney rhyming slang for fiver, as is Ayrton Senna, a tenor, and Bob Smith, a riff. And the thing about Lady Godiva that I really like is that it is a type of chocolate, actually, that not many people know about, but I bought it for my children at Christmas, and I ended up eating a lot of them, and they've got raisins in them, and they've even got, like, cornflake crunchy bits in the middle, and I don't quite know where you get them from, but I bought them anyway from somewhere and ended up giving them to the children, and I can't believe that no-one stopped me yet.
I think it was a repetition of children there.
There was, yeah.
Well, I've got a lot of kids.
Got more than one kid.
Yeah.
Was there a repetition of children there, Nicholas?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And did you tell her that, or did you do it on her own accord?
I got that all by myself.
Oh, well done.
So, Zoe, correct challenge. 19 seconds. Lady Godiva, starting now.
Lady Godiva was, of course, famous for riding through the streets on a horse without any clothes on, which can be very dangerous for chafing. But it also meant that she had a massive walk-in wardrobe with lots and lots of room in it.
Oh, yes. Paul, challenge.
A repetition of lots and lots.
Lots and lots,
gosh.
Yes. It's a natural phase of speech. Yes. Paul, you've got in on this subject, and there are 8 seconds available. Lady Godiva, starting now.
On the morning of the horse ride, Lady Godiva looked into a mirror and examined her voluptuous figure and thought to herself, I'm going to be a hit this afternoon.
So, it's a very close contest. Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence and Zoe Lyons, they're all equal in the lead, just ahead of Lee Mack. And Lee, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now, bingo. Do you
right.
know something about it?
Before we do, can I just say this game's very difficult and can't we just have a chat?
No. Bingo, Lee, starting now.
I used to be a bingo caller back in the 1980s and I know all the terminology for all the numbers, like Kelly's Eye, number one. Doesn't matter what you throw at me, I will know it. The same for two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven.
Paul Challenge.
Quite a lot of oars.
Yeah.
Little words.
Yeah, a little word like that. They might let one or even two go.
But not,
but
the
not
whole,
five.
Not one, five, or two, five. Or three, or four, or
five. Yes, I mean, I must give it against you there, Lee. Paul, correct challenge, and there are 47 seconds. Tell us something about bingo starting now.
Oh, the eight's 88.
Lee, tell me.
Repetition of eight.
No. All the eights, 88.
All the eights,
88. Oh, yeah, they're all three different words.
Yeah.
Nice.
Funny how these things work out, isn't it? Mm.
So another point to you,
as
Paul.
You were.
Incorrect challenge. Bingo is still with you, and there are 44 seconds available, starting now.
There was a bingo contest at a holiday camp I was at in the 1960s, and my Auntie Betty won, and we were so pleased. The box of chocolates was handed over to her, and we sat outside the chalet consuming the items. My favourite, I suppose, of all the various bingo attendances that I was at was the Granada Tootin'. That was a magnificent building, and the great thing about it was that the bingo caller was dressed in this magnificently red coat, and everything about him exuded sheer class. He was a man that knew all the numbers, and he didn't say "or" in between them either. He would say things like "all the sixes."
Josie challenged.
Repetition of all.
Yes, all the sixes,
yes.
The numbers. Right.
That's right, yeah.
Josie, well listened. And you've got 7 seconds still. Bingo, starting now.
I go to a lovely club in Blackheath with my sister and my family, and I've got my own bingo.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
Well, there were three mys very quickly.
Yeah, my. Mm.
My Delilah. Favorite, my sister, my...
Paul, you've got him with 1 second to go.
Oh.
But he deserved
I share
it.
Your disappointment. Mm.
One second on bingo, Paul, starting now.
Bingo!
So, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead ahead of the other three. And Zoe Lyons, we're with you to begin. The subject is the scream. Tell us something about the scream in this game, starting now.
The Scream is without doubt Norway's most famous piece of art, painted by Edvard Munch sometime in the past. It is a depiction of man's loneliness and isolation within society, or so they say. I don't believe it. I think it actually illustrates a person who is very frustrated at male pattern baldness. Perhaps, indeed, the person in the picture had bought a pint of beer in a Norwegian bar and was just terrified at the price of alcohol in that Scandinavian country. Because if you have visited that part of the world, you will know that the price of a
Wow. Brawny, you win 25 seconds. Josie, you challenge us.
Repetition of price.
Yes, you breached your price. And so there are 25 seconds available. The screen with you, Josie, starting now.
I went to do some improvising in Oslo last year, and there's the Edvard Munch Museum. But strangely enough, they don't have the Scream there. It was lent to someone else. You can see the Scream in the British Library. It's coming very soon. But he painted more than one of the Scream. There was about six of them, I think. Rather like gong, 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 gong. I meant to say Vincent van Gogh, and it came out as gong. Van Gogh, Van Gogh.
Well, the Americans pronounce Van Gogh as Van Gogh, which always sounds like
Van
a removal
Gogh,
firm,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
What was your challenge, Paul?
Well, hesitation, really.
Yeah.
You know, sadly.
You shouldn't have hesitated then, because you only had 1 second to go. Oh. Oh.
I share your disappointment.
Repetition.
I still meant it.
Thank you. Do I get a point for that?
No.
Well, he's trailing a bit. I give him as many as I want. He deserves one for that. Mm. The audience enjoyed it.
Yeah. Look, there's a fine line between support and sympathy.
Yeah. It's one of the few points he hasn't begged for.
No, he's earned one or two. Paul, correct challenge, 1 second to go, the Scream, starting now. So Paul Merkin, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round, and he also begins the next round. Paul, the subject is detoxing. I don't know how much experience you have of that, but talk on the subject, starting now.
I thought bird watching was bad. Detoxing is one of those subjects that comes up in January. People want to give up red meat, alcohol, sugar, those sorts of things, and that's all I have to say on it. and ducks. Okay.
Josie, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, it's hesitation. So, Josie, there are 51 seconds still available. Detoxing starting now.
Like Paul says, people want to detoxify in January, and I don't understand that. Surely that's the month where you should be eating and drinking whatever you want, because it's such a depressing time of the year. My form of detoxing is to put more ice in my white wine and to not eat my crusts when I have a sandwich. Also, people are so obsessed with juicing. And the thing that I really hate about juicing is...
I think there might have been a juicing...
It repeats on your juices.
Wow. It does.
So, Lee, you have juicing. I know you have detoxing. 23 seconds available if you need it, starting now.
I've been told the best way to detox is actually to drink your own urine, which apparently is very good for most ailments, but not great for halitosis. And I think that the best thing to do is also eat lots of berries. That's what I do in January, just strawberries, raspberries, gooseberries, and other types of berries like...
Zoe, challenge
There was a repetition of berries, I'm afraid.
There's too many berries there. And Zoe, you've got him with 5 seconds to go. Another point, of course, detoxing starting now.
I like to detox by reducing the amount of alcohol I'm drinking to about...
So Zoe, you speak as the whistle went, has moved forward. She's still in third place, but she's moved. And we're moving into the final round. And Lee Mack, it's your turn to begin. And now we go to Spike Milligan. That is the subject. I don't really know much about Spike, but tell us maybe what you do know in this game, starting now.
If you were to visit Spike Milligan's grave, you would, of course, see that very famous epitaph of "I told you I was ill," which is one of the greatest gravestones in the history of mankind. He really was a genius, and one of my favourite lines he said was, "I inherited a lot from my father because he was a lunatic." And also one of his lines, which I cannot...
Zoe challenge.
I'm really sorry, but there was a repetition of lines.
There was a couple of lines.
Really,
it's a difficult game, isn't it?
There was a repetition.
You must come again and get more practice, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Zoe?
You know, I can stay at home and be patronised by my wife. I don't need it.
39 seconds, Zoe.
Oh, wow.
Spike Milligan, starting now.
The thing I love most about Spike Milligan was his funny little rhymes. My favourite being...
Paul Challenge.
Well, there was a hesitation there, sadly.
Yes, there was. So, Paul, you've got in with 32 seconds to go on Spike Milligan, starting now.
He first came to prominence during the Goon Show in the 1950s, co-starring Harry Seacombe and Peter Sellers, and Spike wrote the majority of the scripts, although at some times he was helped by Eric Sykes and Larry Stevens. After that, he attempted a film career that was nowhere near as successful as his further colleague in the show that I'd mentioned earlier, who went on to international fame, but nevertheless, he made quite a few good movies. One, Postman's Knock, was released in 1963, where he played the entitled part of the character that was in the main title of it, and he was...
Oh, Zoe Challenge?
I think there was a repetition of title.
Entitled and title.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, yes, titles and title, yes.
Sorry. It is very close, yes. Ooh. All the eights, 88. So, I share your disappointment.
Yeah. Repetition, yeah. Get another point down.
The audience are clapping, so give Lee an extra point. I don't know what's wrong. Zoe, an incorrect.
I don't feel so much like a competitor as a competition winner.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 5 seconds available. Spike Milligan, starting now.
When I interviewed Spike about a year before he died, he was on very good form indeed.
So Paul Madden speaking as the whistle went. Let me give you the final situation. Lee Mack, who's only played the game once before, finished in a very...
Oh, you've remembered? I don't know.
He was in a very strong fourth place. And just ahead of him, in third place, was Zoe Lyons. A few points ahead of her was Josie Lawrence. And 4 points ahead of Josie was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul... Wait for it. You are the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game. Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Lee Mack and Zoe Lyons. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score and kept the stopwatch going and blown her whistle with such style. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong, and we're deeply indebted to the creator of this amazing game, Ian Messiter. And from this audience here, we're indebted to them because they've been fantastically warm, friendly, exuberant. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you. And tune in again when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute!